It's good to see you, smiling faces. I love your new location. Am I too far up, Don? Am I going to do any feedback stuff? It'll tell me when to stop, right? I got my phone because I'm going to actually use my phone today. This is just crazy what we're doing with 4BC. Does anybody know what 4BC is? It's just like a random 4BC. Four pastors for Brunswick County. That's ingenious, right? I think he thought of that. I don't know. But anyhow, but that's what we call our little connection. We've been getting together for, man, 4 or 5 years now and just hanging out. And it's just the lead pastors. We come together as church plant pastors. And sometimes we talk about how great you people are and how wonderful it is to do what we do. And sometimes we talk about how pain in the backside you people are sometimes. And how not just seriously. But it's just a time for us to get together and just, man, fellowship and develop this relationship and develop this thing called community. And it is so cool to do that because so many churches, it's about, this is our church. We don't need you. We got our church. We do our thing. Listen, when we get to glory, ain't going to be no church, this church, they ain't dumb, that denomination. We're going to be all the children of a holy God. And that is so cool. So this morning, we went to this conference in Orlando, Florida, a while back, and I don't even remember what it was called. Oh, it was called Redefined. And we were looking at some things, and we were talking on the way back, what are we going to do this July? Last year, it was Better Together. The year before that, I forget. It was really good, though, I'm sure. But so we talked about Redefined, and we were like, well, what does it mean to be redefined? What does it mean? So we kind of looked at chapter 12, verse 2, where it says that we need to transform our minds by the renewing of our minds. And we get to the point where sometimes we get all caught up on tradition, and we forget what it really means. And I chose the topic of church. How do we redefine church? Well, first of all, I want to say welcome to church. I'm glad you guys came to church this morning, right? We're here in the church, right? We are part of this building, and a lot of us get caught up, well, we go to church. Well, the Point Church is across the street over there, and Crosswinds is, and it, no. My pastor, at home pastor, had a saying, I used to think this was the stupidest saying. I don't know why he says that. But he would say it all the time, and then it dawned on me. His saying was this, we don't go to church, we are the church. Huh. We don't go to church, we are the church. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. And I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 16, if you'd like to follow along, verses 13 through, 18. 13 through 18. And before we go any further, would you join me in prayer? Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And Father, I am completely amazed and blown away by the fact that a wretched sinner like me has the right, the privilege, and the honor to come to your throne this morning. And yet you tell me to come boldly to the throne of mercy and grace. Here we are, Lord, Reach Community Church, your children, your sons, your daughters, coming to you this morning, God. Father, we want to hear from you this morning. God, as I read your scripture, as I read your words, as I read your promise, as I read the words of a holy God that you breathed into the author, may we consume those words this morning. May it be more than just scripture. May we be more than hearers of the word. May we be doers. May this change our definition of church and of who we are and what we're called to do. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Jesus, in your name I pray this morning. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, I love to kind of bring things into context for folks. And let me say this before I go any further. This is my interpretation, okay? Don't trust me. Get into the word of yourself. All right, I tell people all the time, well, there's so many interpretations of the Bible. This is a great interpretation. That's a great interpretation. Well, this is the best interpretation. This is the translation that works. This is what I'm going to tell you. The translation that works best for you is the one you use and the one you allow the Holy Spirit to feed you. So with that said, in chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is coming together. These guys are they're in the midst of their ministry, and Jesus has just been out doing some miracle stuff, some Jesus stuff that he does, and he's hanging out with his disciples. In verse 13, it says, and then Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of God, the Son of Man is?" And they replied, well, some say they're John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then he asked this amazingly profound question, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter, that's my hero, Simon Peter, he's cool. He answers, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." There's a couple of things I want to talk about here this morning, real quick. As I pull out of this scripture, I think the most important question we got to look at here is what Jesus says, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And this is the foundation of the church. It's all about who you say he is. And there's so many, it could have been John the Baptist, could be this, he's a prophet, he's this, he's that. He's so many different things to so many different people, but the scripture tells me very plainly that he is the Son of God. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." That's the first question you got to answer. If you want to redefine a church, we better find out what the church is all about and what the foundation of the church is. And the foundation of the church is your answer to that question. Who do you say he is? Hopefully you've got a good answer. One of the things that I do in the midst of marriage counseling or counseling in general, when I've got somebody with an issue, I want to lay the foundation. I just did a wedding last Saturday, and one of the things that I do is I want to lay the foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. And I tell these couples every time, I want to see if I could instill into you one thing, it would be a love triangle. I'm not talking about a Hollywood love triangle. I'm talking about a biblically based love triangle. They put Jesus Christ first. Wife and husband will naturally grow closer together. See, everything about the church, the foundation is this: who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And I think Peter and I would hang out because Peter's just like by the seat of his britches. You know what I mean? He's just kind of rolls, and sometimes he does stupid stuff. And Jesus still works with him. It's crazy. So Peter says, "But who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You want to have a foundation of church, you got to answer that question, and the answer's got to be, it's got to be right. It's got to be right. And don't take my word for it. It's in the scriptures. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, period. And I love the way Peter just handles that. Peter's like, every time you see Peter doing something, it's like when he's walking with Christ, he's just kind of
runs by the seat of his britches, and he does silly things. And then one scripture where Peter walks on water. Why did he walk on water? Could you imagine? I just hung out at Myrtle Beach last week. I didn't walk on water. I did get my lips sunburnt, though, and it hurts, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm sorry, I got ADHD, too. But listen, Peter walked on water. You guys remember that story in the scriptures? The guys were out on the fishing boat, and it was a terrible storm, and they were freaking out, and they thought they were going to drown, and then all of a sudden they see a ghost walking up to them, and they, whoa, and John says, wait a minute, that's the Lord. And Peter steps up and says, hey, Jesus, if that's you, let me walk on water. And Jesus preaches an entire sermon to me with one word. He said, come. Now, Peter, now this is a big fishing boat. This is not a little John boat. It's got at least 12 men in it. It's got all the fishing gear and the nets and all that good stuff. So I'm thinking he's got to jump out of the boat. And he gets on the water, and he's looking at the Son of God. He's focused on Jesus Christ, and he's walking on water. He's walking on water. And then the waves start blowing and wind starts crashing, and then he starts freaking out, and he takes his eyes off of Christ. And what happens? He sinks. He sinks. Help me, Lord! Oh, you little faith. You try, Peter. But that's Peter. And Peter recognizes who he is. He says, you're the Son of God. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. And then Jesus says something crazy here. Jesus replied to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man. This was not revealed to you by man. You didn't get this from the preacher. You didn't get this from, this was not revealed to you by man. This was revealed to you by the Father. The Holy Spirit. See, preachers and disciples of Jesus, we can lead them to the water, but they got to accept what the Father has revealed to them. This is the foundation of the church, guys. And we're not just talking about a meeting hall. We're talking about something different. This is the foundation of the church. Who do you say I am? What you going to do with it, and how you going to roll with it? Then he says, I tell you, this is revealed to you by the Father. So you're going to receive it. Listen, I want you to understand this is a relationship with the holiest holy, God Almighty. And this relationship comes through His Son. And it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, okay? A lot of people get caught up in, well, you got to say this prayer. You got to say the sinner's prayer. Well, that's cool. Maybe you need to say the sinner's prayer. But what you got to do is you got to recognize where it's coming from the Holy Spirit. I said that sinner's prayer a bunch of times. One time I was in a Marine Corps stationed in Jacksonville, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and I was hanging out with my boys. And those of you don't know, actually, Tuesday, I celebrate 17 years of sobriety. He gets that. But I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, okay? So back in the day in North Carolina in the Marine Corps, I was off duty and I was getting ready to go meet the boys at the E Club to tie one on. That's where we were going. And this Sergeant Crawford, this guy, he was one of them Bible thumpers. Man, everywhere he went, he had his scripture. And he come knocking on my door, and he come in, and he would talk to me. And he would always come talk to me, probably because I was just polite and I didn't, you know, beat him up verbally or whatever. And so Sergeant Crawford's sharing the gospel with me, and I remember this specifically. I said, Sergeant Crawford, if I say that prayer, will you let me get out of here? Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come wash them away. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, amen, and went and got drunk. I don't think that stuck. See, because it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. when I did get saved, I was at church. I was on staff at church. And God Almighty revealed to me, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I knew Jesus. I knew all about Jesus. But I didn't have the relationship. See, and the Holy Spirit reveals that. This is the foundation of the church, folks. And then he says, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. On this rock, I will build my church. A lot of people, there's some controversy. There's some little different decisions, different thoughts on this. Some people think because he called Peter the rock, that Peter is the rock that he's going to build the church on. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I did a little study, and that's exactly what the Catholic Church believes. That Peter, St. Peter, is the rock of the church. And that's cool. But I don't think that's not my understanding. Now let me share with you my understanding. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. On this rock. What's the rock? What's the foundation? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. On Peter's knowledge through the Holy Spirit that you are the Christ, you are the Son of living God, that's the rock that we're going to build the church on. That's the rock that we're going to build the church on. And the gates of hell, and the gates of Hades, can't stop it. It's unstoppable. Guys, do you realize since the very beginning, they've been trying to stop this? Paul, Saul, that was his whole focus in life, to stop the way, stop this Jesus thing. We're going to eliminate this. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Kind of turned his road around, didn't he? I want you to understand this, folks. The gates of hell will not stop the church of God. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ laid out the plan. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all the laws and the commands that I've given you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go and make disciples. I want you to understand, folks, there is no plan B. It's plan A, and you're part of it. You and I are followers of Christ. You and I are disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's our goal. It's our mission. It's our big plan. See, in the Marine Corps, we had a plan of attack. Always had a plan of attack. How are we going to get there? Avenue of approach. Guys, it's very simple. We grow the church. I remember when we were coming down to plant this church. We were leaving Northern Virginia. My son-in-law was, he was just kind of getting a little bit of a handle on this God thing. And we told him, I told my daughter and my two granddaughters, they were just little ones at the time. Actually, this weekend, we've been here 7 years. The church will be 7 years old in September, but we moved down on the 4th of July. So I remember telling my daughter and her husband, and we're moving. We're leaving Northern Virginia, and we are moving to Leland, North Carolina, to plant a church. I said, to build a church. And my son-in-law, well, how big are you going to build it? He's thinking bricks and mortar. And I said, well, it depends on how big God wants it. I'm just going to. And he looked at me, and he said this. And this is all the preparation. We're getting ready. I mean, I'm leaving everything I know. I'm leaving a career. I was on staff at a church making healthy money. My wife had been in a company for over almost 20 years. And everything we got, we're bye, leaving it. And he said this. What if it don't work? Dusty? I honestly have never thought of that. Because God's calling me to do it. There ain't no plan B. There's no plan B. Here's a couple of things that I want to talk about real quick, and then we're going to finish up. Here's the interesting thing. As the church, the world knows what the church is against, don't they? I mean, we're good at that. We're good at gay marriages. We're against that. Homosexuals, we don't like that. We don't like this sin. We don't like that sin. I don't know that you're welcome here. The church is against that. We're not going to have this abortion thing going on. And I'm not saying these things are wrong. We need to be against the immorality of the world, okay? But how are we going to love that person? How are we going to love that person? I remember a couple of Easters ago, we were having our service, and I was sharing kind of my story a little bit, my testimony about being an addict and how God has delivered me from that. And I remember at the end of the service, this lady come walking down the aisle, and she was probably in her, I don't know, late 40s, 50 maybe, and she was carrying a toddler with her. And she came down the aisle, and let's call her Tina. And she came down and she said, I just want to thank you for sharing your story today. You've given me hope. And I said, well, that's awesome. I'm just glad you're here. And she said, because the hope that you've given me, see, this is my granddaughter. And my daughter's a heroin addict, and she's on the streets. And I said, Tina, can we stop and just pray right now for your daughter? And I did. Grabbed her by the hand, and there was tears. And man, I just prayed for her. And then she said, I also want to thank you for allowing me into your church. Well, why wouldn't I allow you into the church? And she said, because I'm a lesbian. I said, oh, okay. And then she said, well, what do you think about my lifestyle? And I said, Tina, because you have asked me, I will share with you what I think about your lifestyle. I think it's a sin. It's very plain in the scriptures. It's a sin. But Tina, you and your partner are welcome at the Point Church. Because if I'm not going to let you in church because of your sin, I need to empty the building. Because God doesn't see, oh, Tina's sin is worse than Daniel's sin. Sin is sin. But see, the church, the world knows what the church is against, don't they? And sometimes that's a bad rap. My point is this. We need the world to know what the church is for. We need the world to know what the church is for. Jesus is the ultimate example of how we're to love the unlovable. In the church, we're supposed to be following that. Anna's got a little video clip that I want to share with you real quick. If you'll just watch this, it's just a couple of minutes. Ignore the Hispanic, except for Alan. You can read the Hispanic captions.
There was this guy that came to my church once, and he was a part of a gang. And decided to ditch everything and follow Jesus, and he got baptized. And after a while, though, he stopped coming to the church gatherings. And one of my buddies asked him, they go, hey, where you been? He says, when I got baptized, he goes, I thought that it was going to be like when I got jumped into the gang. Because when I got jumped into my gang, he goes, suddenly everyone had my back. We became like a family 24/7. He says, so when I got baptized, I thought, this is what's going to happen with the Christians. He goes, I didn't know that it was just Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, because I thought it was going to be family. So he goes, I just had it wrong in my head. And yet when I heard that, I thought, no, you got it right. We've got it wrong. And honestly, it was heartbreaking, because I thought, gangs are a better picture of family than the church is. The gangs are a better picture of the body than we are. They're having a fellowship and a sharing that we don't see in the Church of Jesus Christ. And yet that's the very thing that Jesus wanted for us.
The very thing that Jesus wanted for us. Do you get a mental picture there? That the gangs have a better example of family than the church does. I'm part of Celebrate Recovery Ministry, and that's a biblically based recovery program, and I love it, and it's great. And there was a testimony one time that this lady was sharing, and she said this, that the church is the last place that you can be honest. Do you feel comfortable enough to come in here and say, man, I got some problems and I need some help? This is where it should be happening. We're the church. We're to love one another. Church is not about coming here Sunday morning. You're missing it if it is. We're not in the church service. The service part starts when you walk out them doors. Guys, we get caught up in this Sunday morning thing. Let's do our Wednesday night Bible study or our men's group. And those are great things, don't get me wrong. But we got to be living what we're saying. And the world needs to see what's going on in the church because the church is outside the walls. And that's what I love about this series that we've been doing in July, is we literally get to tear the physical walls of our church down and go hang out with others and share what's going on. There's one more thing I want to share with you, if I hopefully got it pulled up here. Anybody know Amanda Johnson from Crosswinds Church? She's awesome. I love her. She's so cool. She posted something on Facebook June 27th, and I contacted her and asked her if I could share this in this series, because it's perfect. It's perfect. And I want to share this with you. And she wrote on June 27th, 11:48 p.m., "We are definitely navigating new waters as our big girl approaches six. Several times this week, we have both done a double take at Candace, and double take as Candace is changing so fast right before our eyes. Today, I caught a glimpse of the person God is shaping her to be, 6 years old. In the last 2 days, she has lost her fish, started a new camp where she knew nobody, wiped out on her scooter without a single tear." That's amazing right there, right? "And y'all know this child doesn't take crap from anyone. She's tough. Today, we are driving through downtown, and she sees a homeless man holding a sign. And if I'm being honest, I'm thankful that the light turned green so I didn't have time to stop and didn't have to sit there awkwardly by him. And as we passed through the intersection, she asked if we were going to give him anything. And I said, not today, baby. And I turned her song up. And as we crossed over the bridge, I noticed she wasn't singing. And I looked in the rearview mirror and she was tearing up. And I was clueless. I had already justified and dismissed this man out of my conscience. I asked her what's wrong, and she starts bawling. She says, that man doesn't have anything. He looked so sad, and people weren't even trying to do anything. Why wasn't anyone helping him? They were all just driving by. And she was so upset, she didn't even realize that she had dropped her new fish in the bag on the floor. I gave her my best child-friendly explanation of why people weren't helping, and then I got the feeling, the nudge, you know, you can't ignore it. I asked if she thought we needed to help him, and she said yes. So we turned around and we went all the way back. And the funny thing is that she didn't even want the satisfaction of handing it to him. She just wanted to make sure that someone cared about him. And as we waited at the light, we watched an ambulance stop and give him a drink. And she got to see that not everyone just drives by. I guess what I was reminded of today is that it's actually, simple. We make excuses and explanations for such stuff, but when you see things through the eyes of a child, it changes your perspective. She didn't know that he probably made bad choices in his past, or that he likely spent the money on drugs or alcohol, or maybe. And when I attempted to explain that, I immediately felt like a hypocrite, as I constantly preach forgiveness, grace, and mercy. The way she was looking at me said it all. None of that stuff mattered to her, because we teach her that it doesn't matter to God. He loves us regardless of our mess ups, and no one is better than anyone else. And if we are to love others as He loves us, pretty simple, right? I can't help but wonder what the world would be like if we all just acted on the values that we taught, that we were taught as children, with no buts, no what ifs, no strings attached. What's the point? What's the point of redefining this church thing? What's the point? Are you the church? Does the world around you know that you're part of Reach Community Church? There's a homeless man in your life somewhere, and it may not be a homeless man, but a Christless man, woman, child. Guys, most of you know that the Point Church, we have a very simple motto. I'm a very simple person, and I like to keep things as simple as I can. And I'll tell this story, and some of you have already heard it, and just pretend you didn't, get real excited when I say it, okay? The first time I ever read all of this, every single word, from in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, to the last amen in Revelation 22, I was so jacked up. Man, I did it. I mean, I didn't miss one of the begots. All of them complicated names, I did the best I could, and I got the genealogy, all of it, read every single word, didn't skip a one. And I met up Tuesday morning with my accountability partner, and I sat down with him at Starbucks and paid too much money for a bitter coffee. And I said, Kevin, I did it. I read every single word in the Bible. And he was like, that's awesome, man. What'd you learn? Wait a minute. Is this a book report? And I got to thinking about it. Well, what did I learn? What is it all about? And God revealed to me scriptures in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, where Jesus Christ is being tempted by the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they're trying to trick him up and stumble him. And they ask him this: Jesus, what's the number one law? What's the number one rule? What's the number one thing? If I can do only one thing out of the 613 Mosaic laws, what's the number one thing I should do? And Jesus said this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That's the number one command. And then he said something that just, it's crazy. It's crazy. We don't think like this. He says, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's just as important as. It's similar to. He said, everything else lies on that. Love God and love others. How you doing with that? How you doing with that? What's the point, folks? Are you the church? Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would just, that little nudge that Amanda was talking about, Holy Spirit, nudge us. Speak to our hearts, God, that we're out of touch. God, we need to take the church. We are the church. We don't just go to church. We need the world around us to see your unconditional love through us. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this moment. And I pray, God, today, if there's anyone in this room that needs to answer that question, who do you say I am? That today would be the day that they would say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Jesus' name I pray.